Lee Iacocca, Calvin Klein, and former President Richard Nixon. The Forbes family bagpiper, dressed in blue and green kilt, played in front of the Episcopal Church. And a leather-clad motorcycle group roared down Park Avenue in tribute to Forbes, an avid Harley rider. Blue police barricades held back curious onlookers. When asked what Forbes symbolized to her, onlooker Kristen Lanick of New Jersey said,
"Power and capitalism, definitely the American way that brought to obtain great things, and he obtained them."
He was well known, of course, for the birthday party and the hot air balloons and motorcycles.
Extravagance.
Right. Did he ever go, do you think, too far?
Never. Too much is never enough.
Forbes leaves behind one of the three most popular business magazines in America, along with Business Week and Fortune. But as Bill Tabb, professor of economics at Queens College and board member of the independent socialist magazine Monthly Review, says, the man was mightier than the magazine.
Forbes magazine really was a capitalist tool in a very ideological kind of sense. It was a puff piece, a place to puff up Malcolm's friends and also to create an ideological sense of capitalism being a great system, and that it was a lot of fun, everybody got rich, and the buccaneering, risk-taking entrepreneurs were really what made capitalism run, and we should all be proud of that and emulate it, and that they were the best. I mean, you had a lot of that kind of feeling in the magazine. It was written with the effort, it was read by a lot of just regular schlubs who thought they were going to maybe get some inside information or some great brilliance that was going to help them get rich, too.
Tabb says Forbes, unlike many of his peers, dedicated his life to having fun and made gobs of money along the way, as much as $1 billion or more by some estimates.
So it was a much more positive sense than the usual, we make it by screwing other people, or we make it by working harder than anybody else, the kind of images that mostly people like to give of themselves.
But Doug Henwood, editor of Left Business Observer, says Forbes' life personified the excesses of the 80s.
Malcolm himself is a visible symbol of overconsumptionism raised to a level of an ideology. I imagine now that he's gone, whatever iconoclastic spirit the magazine had will probably drift away. The sons who are about to take it over are more conservative than Malcolm himself, more socially conservative, at least. They lack the flamboyance that Malcolm had. I think Cap Weinberg, of course, is the publisher of Forbes magazine now, so he'll probably have a say in who the new editor and the new editorial direction will take. So it probably means a worsening of the magazine, I would guess.
Forbes' five children described their father as the happiest millionaire. He died in his sleep on Saturday after returning from Britain aboard his private jet, the capitalist tool. Forbes' body will be cremated and his ashes interred on Lucala, the private Fijian island he bought in 1970. For WBAI, this is Lance Inyon.
And that's some of the news for Thursday, March 1st, 1990. The news was engineered by Tom Tortorella. It was produced with Jenny Bourne, Lance Inyon, Marika Martin, Dave Sears, and Nadine Michelle Shaw. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Don Rush in Washington for WBAI Listener Supported News.
And this is Emmanuel Goldstein here.
5 FM. WBAI, New York.
Well, thank you, Roscoe. I don't know where you came from, but I do appreciate that. Yes, it is WBAI in New York, and this is Emmanuel Goldstein. This is The Fifth Corner.
Gypsy ride with the sweet eye. number roll. Tell me everything I need to know. La 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 la. Turn up your radio and let me hear the song. Switch on your electric light, that we can get down to what is really wrong. I long to hold you tight, so I can feel you, sweet lady of the night. I shall.
There it is, Van Morrison from way, 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 way back. Caravan, song all about radio. And that's where we are. We're on the radio. You're listening to the radio. I'm speaking on the radio, and we're going to be talking about radio tonight. It's one of those self-referential kind of programs. But that's not all we're going to be doing. We'll be doing all kinds of neat, fun, exciting things. I'm back. I was away for a while. Ventured out across the land, ventured into another land, and stepped into another world, as the saying goes. Quite a few interesting experiences, and gosh darn it all, I learned something, and I want to share that with you. And I also want to hear what's happening out there. So we'll be taking some calls a little bit later on. Now, I have a special guest on the phone already. sometimes people call in early, and I believe this guest is here now. If you are here, guest, say something now.
Hello there.
Okay, that's it. Perhaps there was a delay because you're on a satellite. Well, you're not on a satellite, but your voice is going through a satellite. Is that not correct?
Yes, it is. It's one of them satellites over the Atlantic Ocean. It's Amsterdam, and it's approaching 6 in the morning. Hello there.
Well, hello, and I want to thank you very much for joining us on this program. Now, this strange, interesting person from Amsterdam is with us tonight, or this morning, or whichever time you care to believe, to help us out, to help us Americans out with a problem that we have. And what is that problem? Well, you may ask. Okay, it's a problem that that I've been facing almost all my life. Well, actually, I have been facing it all my life. I just haven't been aware of it all my life. And that is the problem of what happens when you pick up a telephone and try to call to a certain place in the world, a particular place. And that place is none other than the most unique, interesting country of Albania. And just to demonstrate the horrible, horrible difficulties we have to go through, we're going to demonstrate that right now. Of course, sometimes the phone just hangs up and refuses to even connect you to the operator. Well, that's one of the dangers of this occupation. We're trying it again. Okay, we have a very, very uncooperative phone system here, refusing to even connect us to an operator. Well, that's how difficult it can
Don't
be.
Don't mind two satellites. I can
Okay, here we
you.
Go. Hello?
Operator.
Yes, operator, can I have AT&T, please?
Sure, hold on. Please.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you.
Now, you'll see.
Thank you.
Something always goes wrong. Sometimes they don't answer. Remember when operators picked up on the first ring?
AT&T, Alfred, may I help you?
Yes, operator, I'm having difficulty calling Albania. Can you help me?
Albania?
Yes.
Sure, is Albania?
Yes.
One moment, please.
Thank you. Seems to be an echo on this line.
Yes.
Are you hearing it too?
I hear it.
Yeah.
Just one moment, please.
I just hit the phone, but I don't think it helped. Well, this always happens. Every time I try calling this country, something weird happens. This is no exception. Excuse me? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Do you have a country code and city code?
Well, that's just it. I can never get that information. I keep trying to get that information, and I can't ever get it.
Hold on, please.
Thank you. Certainly do appreciate this. Is our friend from Amsterdam still on the line?
Is AT&T yes, supervisor, how may I help you?
Yes, hello. Hello. I heard a supervisor. Well, as you can see, it gets very complicated very quickly. Now, our friend overseas seems to think it's easier. Are you still there, friend overseas?
Yes, I am still there.
Okay, well, maybe...
Over my operator?
Yeah, over the operators in Holland. Perhaps it's easier to get through. I mean, you are closer. Are you not?
I am closer, yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad we established that. What have we there?
The operator.
Hello?
Hello, sir. Sorry to keep you waiting, but there is no service to Albania.
There's no service to Albania?
Albania.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I have nummer gevonden. Ik heb alleen...
Wat was het eigen nummer?
Ja?
Ja?
903-445.
Now, perhaps you could explain to us non-Dutch speaking people what's going on here.
The operator... The operator is now taking a call to Tirana, Albania, to subscriber number 5413.
Okay, that's a number I believe we've picked completely at random.
Momento.
As we know that the phone numbers in Albania are only 4 digits long, or at least in the capital city. They might even be smaller than that outside the capital. Now, this is something that that nobody in this country can do. As you heard the operator say many times over in echo and reverb, there's no service to Albania. Well, what we're attempting to do here tonight, folks, is do it anyway. That's sort of what WBAI is here for. Is anything happening over there?
Well, we're waiting for the operator.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we could have some sort of a conversation while she's doing that, because...
Fine with me. Fine.
Yeah, we don't want to have dead air on the radio here.
Oh, it would be a waste of airspace, wouldn't it?
It would be a waste of many things, yes. About how long do you think she's going to take?
I have no idea. This is the first time I actually venture out to Tirana, Albania, so I have really no idea. I know they're in the same time zone, so the operator there will be roughly woken up, I think.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, operators in small country used to sleep over their telephones.
Well, that's true over here, too. You just have to...
Ogenblik, hoor.
Ja, hoor. Well, this one must have heard that.
What did she say?
She said just a moment.
Uh-huh.
But it proves that she was either a very well-synthesized computer voice or she was actually awake.
Well, well-synthesized computer voices are okay in my book as far as this is concerned. I wonder if we're going to get through. This is so exciting. We've never done anything like this before. I don't think anyone ever has. You know, it's the Museum of Communism, they call it now. It's a country you can't get through to. It's what the media say is the last bastion of Stalinism and all that garbage. Well, I think it's just an interesting place with a different way of doing things, and who knows? Who knows what we can learn? But we have to get through. We have to be able to get through. And right now we're trying to get through. Hadn't counted on all this dead air, though.
Oh.
Ik bel u wel terug, want het duurt veel te lang. De telefoniste daar geeft geen antwoord.
Okay, I'll wait for it.
Okay.
Dag.
And what are we doing?
My operator just hung me up, telling me that she will call back because it takes much too long. The operator in Tirana, Albania, is not answering his or her phone. And they will call me back when they can establish my connection.
And did they give any idea as to how long that would be?
They gave no indication as to how long that would be. I think the problem here is not in Amsterdam, but it's in Tirana, Albania. It's a country that you cannot dial direct into. Maybe I can tell some interesting background here. You can dial a lot of countries direct from Holland. Practically every country in the world that has an automatic phone system can be dialed directly. The only countries that cannot be dialed direct from Holland are countries that do not have a automatically switched telephone network. That includes a portion of the African countries, some other countries, and... Well, Albania is the only country, this may be interesting, all the countries take 10 guilders, which is about $5 a minute, and then Albania is the only country out of a list of, well, still, in my estimate, 60 countries. It's the only country that takes only 2.15 a minute. And I think that is because it's the only country in the European... that's what they call a numbering zone, a world numbering zone, which means its country code starts with 3 or 4. And it's the only country in this world numbering zone that does not have a telephone system that supports automatic dialing to all places in the world. And it's maybe also interesting to know that our phone system, the American phone system, for as far as I understand it, did only get international direct dial in the early 80s. We have had the same feature since 1971, 72 to almost all the countries that we can dial now.
Now, do you know what the country code for Albania is?
Because
that's something we can't find out over here.
I have a lot of books standing here, but no, not right out of my head, no.
Okay.
It starts with either 3 or 4, and it's probably 3 digits long.
I think it does start with 3, and I think it's 3 digits. I think it's possibly 353 or 355, one of those.
Very well be.
Well, I think one of those is Ireland, and the one that isn't Ireland is the one that's Albania, so it's either 353 or 355. So that's an interesting...
Ireland for you. There's an... 353 is Ireland, so it must be 355.
I think it is 355, so that might give us a clue or something like that. But I think even if you had the means to place calls using what's known as a blue box, I don't think you'd be able to get anywhere by using country code 355. But still, one never knows till one tries, right?
It's true.
Well, now, can you possibly call us back if, by some fluke of nature, you get a call from Albania in the next hour or so?
I will.
Okay, call us back, and we'll immediately break into whatever we're doing and go over to Albania and see...
with the audio.
I'm sorry?
Leave me on with the audio.
Oh, sure, certainly, yes. I mean, this is your call, so you can stay on as long as you like.
Okay.
All right. So I'll just turn you down a little bit and say to the people listening that we will be back in a minute or two, and we'll be taking phone calls. And yes, I haven't forgotten the other part of this program, namely the subject of... Guess. Oh, come on, it's easy.
Oh,
Oh, you know, I think that's one of the best songs ever written. Elvis Costello and Radio Radio. And words that just ring so true, you know? Radio's in the hands of such, well, I don't know exactly about the phrasing there, such a lot of fools or whatever that word is. But yeah, the fools have it. Yes, Elvis, the fools definitely have it. And boy, do I have proof of that. Do I have proof of that? Every day, every week, it becomes reinforced. Now, as some of you know, I went away. I went on this road trip with a broken speedometer, no less. I don't know if anybody's been following this, but I left with my speedometer broken by the car repairman that was supposed to maintain it. He somehow disconnected it, so I went on this huge trip, about 3,000 miles or so. I don't know how many miles I went, because I didn't have an odometer or a speedometer or anything like that. So it works now, and it's really weird to have a speedometer again. But I had no idea how fast I was going, how far I had come, or anything like that. And that's a good feeling in itself. But I basically explored various places, went to upstate New York, crossed the border, went up to Canada, to a couple of cities I'd never been to before, and I wholeheartedly recommend people go there. The cities of Sudbury and Sault Ste. Marie particularly, because that's an impressive place. And also it was the center of a controversy while I was up there. It seems some of the citizens of Sault Ste. Marie voted to declare English as the only language to be taught or learned there. And, of course, the French people of both Ontario and Quebec did not take kindly to that, and the whole country is focusing upon that. I also wandered over to Milwaukee and down into Chicago, and I did a really, really crazy thing. I drove all the way back from Chicago to New York in one fell swoop, which took about... took about 26 hours, actually, but, you know, my fell swoops aren't exactly fast. I sort of pull over and explore a little bit. But I didn't go to sleep or anything, and I didn't really do anything except drive for those 26 hours. And it was quite an experience to just do that, you know? And it's... I wouldn't recommend it to everybody. In fact, I don't think I'd recommend it to very many people at all. But I had fun. But that's beside the point. All this is beside the point. What I really want to talk about is the radio stations, you know? I was wandering around Buffalo, and Buffalo is kind of like a college town. There's Buffalo State University, there's the University of Buffalo, there's all kinds of things in Buffalo, colleges. And wherever there's a college, I think there's a radio station, and sometimes there is, and sometimes it's a good one. Well, I wandered around the campus of the State University of Buffalo until I found the radio station, and I don't know if most listeners have ever actually been to a radio station. There's so many different kinds. You know, there's the commercial stations, there's the non-commercial stations, there's, I guess that's really the only two categories, but between those, there's quite a lot of difference, as I'll point out to you. State University of Buffalo has a very powerful station and nicely maintained. It's called WBFO. It's, didn't lose their program guide. It's 88.7 on the FM dial. And I walked into this building. It's in the middle of the campus, and nobody knows it's there. You know, I asked all these students, and they said, oh, we have a radio station here. How about that? I didn't know that. And I walked into this building, and there I was, wandering around. There was nobody in the hallways. I was just sort of looking at things, tape recorders, records, just sort of lying around. And finally, I found the program director. It was the first person I saw was the program director, and in fact, one of the only people I saw. And I said, hey, I'm a radio person from New York. I said, from WBAI, and of course, instantly a flicker of recognition crossed his face. And he gave me a tour of the place. It was a national public radio station. And he spent an hour and a half showing me around, and I suddenly realized, you know, these program directors at these national public radio stations, they don't really have all that much to do, because most of the programming is coming in over the satellite, and they're pretty much just sitting there watching the satellite and making sure the tape machines go on, and there's not a whole lot of programming decisions to make. And this particular station was of the all-jazz format. And I have nothing against jazz, I have nothing against all jazz formats either, but I just thought it was kind of sad to be in such a place with such potential, you know, and there were no more than five people in the radio station. Five people on this huge radio station that was broadcasting all over the place. And no students from the campus, which they were in the middle of. It was just so sad, you know, to see this potential and just have it turned into a music box and, you know, a couple of news programs every day. And then I drove up to Toronto, and first time I'd ever been to Toronto, and as I was going on up there, I was listening to this radio station that was doing crazy things. You know, they were calling people on the telephone. They were playing music, sometimes at the wrong speed. They were having fun, playing blues, playing folk, playing jazz, playing classical sometimes. And once I got to Toronto, I decided to explore and just find this place. It was coming from the University of Toronto, and I wandered in to CIUT, 89.5 FM, 15,000 watts out of the University of Toronto. And this is a little piece from their program guide, the special limited edition of the CIUT FM program guide. At 12 noon on January 15th, 1987, a new presence emerged on the Southern Ontario FM dial. CIUT 89.5 FM was on the air with 15,000 watts, the most powerful campus community station in Canada, and began flooding the airwaves throughout the region with a unique combination of music, news, educational, and community access programming 24 hours a day. As this new year begins, CIUT celebrates its third anniversary on air and renews its dedication to bringing you quality programming. CIUT exists to give the ordinary person access to information the mainstream media doesn't always take the care to provide. It's empowering radio that helps listeners to inform themselves and make their own decisions in the face of other cultural and economic pressures, which sometimes act to stifle diversity and limit choice in individuals' self-expression. The true measure of the strength of a radio station is its impact on the community it serves, and for CIUT, community involvement is where it's at. In 1990, CIUT will reflect this commitment through coverage of special events like Martin's Day, January 15th, Black History Month, all of February, International Women's Day, March 8th, Lesbian and Gay Pride Day, June 24th, and International Literacy Year, all of 1990, among others. CIUT also serves the University of Toronto community, of which we're a part, by covering campus events, intramural and international amateur sports. We hope to do more in all of these areas this year, and you'll be hearing about it in the weeks and months ahead. Whether it's spoken word or music programming, CIUT shows are as unique as the people that do them. Each one brings their own genuine enthusiasm and personality to the station's special combination of programming that can't be heard elsewhere. Speaking of music, CIUT programmers enjoy bringing you the best in live and recorded music and interviews from artists based in all points on the globe. Sometimes it doesn't seem like there's enough time in the day to cover the wide variety of music CIUT is mandated to provide. You can call in your requests or comments during our mosaic or specialty music shows. I don't really think you need the phone number, but they say they'd love to hear from their listeners. And this is an incredible schedule. The things that they do, the things they attempt to do, all kinds of different music, Africa, international, radio, television invisible, Monday midnight folk show. You know, these are people experimenting, having fun, being different. And this, my friends, is what it's all about. I went to this place, it was kind of like a three or four story frat house, filled with people arguing and carrying things, running back and forth, you know, just doing radio the way it's supposed to be. Now, why is it that there's so little of that left? Where is it going? I mean, how many stations are there where this happens, where it's not just one particular style and a staff of just maybe a dozen or so? You know, if you're going to visit a radio station, if you're going to see what it's all about. I suggest going to a real place like CIUT, and a place where hundreds of people come in and out of the doors and try different things. Now, there's an article in yesterday's newspaper, and I think this kind of brings home a few things. Yesterday's Newsday says, Connecticut Station has designs on Long Island. And this is something that I have kind of a personal involvement in, because one of the stations affected is a station that I work for on Long Island. And it's scary, folks. It's really scary, because we're talking about non-commercial radio here. You notice I didn't even bring up commercial radio. I mean, I could talk all about the evils of commercial radio and how they only play 13 songs and they keep repeating the same things over and over again. They don't care about the songs. They just care about the commercials, and the DJs aren't allowed to say anything except the temperature. I could go on about that, but I'm not going to, because I've done it before and I'll probably do it again sometime. This is something more immediate because it's within our own community, the non-commercial radio community. What's happening to it? What's going on here on Long Island? 2 years ago, a non-commercial radio spot was taken by a religious station. A religious station. I mean, am I the only one that finds that not right? You know, that's not an educational station. They're, you know, in effect selling a product. I mean, let's face it, that's what it is. And it's constantly the same thing over and over again. I mean, you can say what you like about stations like WBAI or college radio or public radio or anything like that, but you hear different views, you hear arguments, you hear discussions, but you don't always hear the same thing over and over again. I can guarantee you that very few people around here agree on very many things. That's just the way it is. And that's why it's so interesting. Anyway, let's get to this article, and then we'll get to your phone calls, because I'd like to know how other people feel about this. Because it's important. You know, things are changing, and things may change in ways we don't want them to change. Here's the article. George Lombardi and the folks at WSHU 91.1 FM, based at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut, are thinking big, very big. The Connecticut College is asking the Federal Communications Commission to approve construction on Long Island of three different facilities designed to bring national public radio programming to all of Suffolk, plus a chunk of Nassau. As explained by Lombardi, WSHU's general manager, the school's plans call for the following. A 1,000-watt booster. Well, I happen to know that's wrong. It's actually a 10-watt booster, so I'll just correct that here. A 10-watt booster, known in radio as a translator, would be erected in Selden, New York, to aim WSHU's programming at Nassau County on 91.1 FM. A new 3,900-watt transmitter and studio in Shirley, in effect an entirely new station at 88.3 FM, would air local and NPR programming to a potential audience of more than 400,000 listeners. A new 3,000-watt transmitter and studio in Noyak, near Sag Harbor, that is a second new station, this one at 89.9 FM, would present local and NPR programming to a potential audience of 80,000 people on the East End. According to Lombardi, the booster and the two separately programmed stations would all be licensed to Sacred Heart University Incorporated and cost about $600,000 over the next 3 years to put in operation. Half that amount is being sought from the National Telecommunication and Information Administration, an agency of the U.S. Department of Commerce that funds broadcast expansion. To bolster the grant application, WSHU has written its Long Island listeners asking them to state that you want the enlarged coverage area, what it would mean to you, why it's important in your life. Lombardi refutes a suggestion that the three-tiered plan represents an incursion across Long Island Sound by a Connecticut upstart. That argument is sure to be raised by two island-based college stations that view WSHU's expansion as encroachment on their hard-won turf. About 2,000 of WSHU's 8,000 paying subscribers live on Long Island, and many of them have long expressed interest in improving reception in Nassau, Suffolk, Lombardi said. He also argues that the new Long Island transmitters will bring NPR's leading news magazines, Morning Edition, and All Things Considered, to a region that lacks a locally based NPR affiliate. And just get that thing in there, okay. However, the plans are expected to face challenges from the State University of New York at Stony Brook's WUSB at 90.1 FM, which is right next to 89.9 FM, which is why they're upset, and from WPBX at 91.3 FM, and they're an American public radio affiliate based at Southampton College. Now, Terry Jones, who is Long Island University's Director of Broadcasting, who runs WPBX and CW Post WCWP at 88.1 FM, says he's real unhappy about this. WSHU is right in our backyard already, and now they want to expand. Why do we create a market and have them take it away? Well, of course, we're talking non-commercial radio here, and it drives me crazy when non-commercial radio stations care so much about markets. You know, it's not what it's all about. And these national public radio stations, American public radio stations, what have you, popping up left and right. And there's nothing wrong with the programming. The programming is fine. But what's happening to the stations? WSHU used to be a station run by college students. And now it's a public radio station. They play classical music 24 hours a day. And the students don't have anything to do with it, just like the station up in Buffalo. And I wonder, what is happening to non-commercial radio? What's happening to the learning experience? I understand WSHU, and if somebody could call in and give me information about this, WSHU is also involved in a bit of a conflict with a station in New Jersey, Upsala, New Jersey, WFMU, which is a station that has many, many students involved and does creative programming. It seems that they both share the same frequency, and somehow there's some sort of a conflict about one station interfering with another station or something like that, and WSHU is trying to get WFMU to cut back, cut its power in half or something like that. I'd like more information on that if someone has it, and they can call us. Our number is 279-3400, area code 212. I'd like to know what people think of the state of non-commercial radio, and I'm not really talking about WBAI because WBAI is unique. I don't think anything really approaches what we do here. There are a lot of stations that it's kind of like a kind of imperialistic in a way. I guess I hate to use that word, but that's the way it is. You know, the stations are being taken over and converted. And something that was once run in kind of a haphazard way is now run more efficiently with a lot less people and a lot less diversity. And I want to know, what do the people want? You know? I mean, do we want to just have religious stations and their satellites? Do we just want to have national public radio stations and their satellites? Or do we want to have a kind of disjointed harmony, if such a thing is possible? Well, I'll say I'm involved with the station in Stony Brook, WUSB, and that's a terrific place. A place where literally hundreds of people gather and create all kinds of incredible things, and a place where hopefully such things will always go on, and I really hope that this station in Sag Harbor that is being proposed isn't put on the air, because it will greatly interfere with a signal. I mean, you don't see somebody saying, let's put a station at 92.5, because the folks at K-Rock and the folks at DRE would be all upset by that, because it's too close. But the same thing doesn't apply to non-commercial radio. That is, all the stations below 92. It's kind of a haphazard way of doing things there. It's pretty much fill in the gaps, you know. And a lot of stations aren't being heard. A lot of stations are being blocked out by those with more power and with more money. And it's just sad to see this happen to non-commercial radio. Well, our number again is 279-3400, area code 212. I think I've blabbered on enough about all this. Now it's time to see what you folks think. Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
What happens, what can I do if I get a lot of crosstalk on my telephone?
I don't know. Well, I mean, we're not talking about telephones tonight, sir. I'll answer your question, but let's stick to the subject. If you get lots of crosstalk, it could be a number of things. It could be bad wiring on your part. It could be bad wiring on your central office's part. It's best to eliminate the possibilities by plugging in a different phone, plugging your phone into a different jack. If it keeps happening, no matter what you plug in, the problem is probably with the phone company, and that's when you should call it in and ask for a repair. 212-279-3400. No more phone questions, please. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I got the delay here. I took a similar road trip that you took this summer. I drove cross country and came back, and I was fascinated by the radio I was listening to all the way across and back. You go out there to the Midwest, and the people are listening to the songs like back in the 50s and in the 60s. They haven't left that era.
I found they were sort of stuck in the 70s, actually.
Oh, well, it could be 70s, but, you know, it seems like they're still listening to Simon and Garfunkel and Tom Jones and the Humperdincks, and, you know, it was very disappointing.
Well, now what do you think of the state of non-commercial radio around here? And I'm deliberately not referring to BAI.
I live in Connecticut. I live in Norwalk here, and I get SHU, and I get PKN, and I get the Long Island stations and the New York stations. And the non-commercial radio is all I listen to. I think it's lost its spontaneity for sure. There's nothing happening that's exciting anymore.
You mean that's true of all non-commercial radio?
I think so. It's so programmed. I mean, there's no room for any creative people to get involved.
Well, okay. Now I can tell you that is not true. I mean, it is true at a lot of places. You're right about that. It's true. I think at stations that say, yes, we only play classical music, we only play jazz, we only broadcast these programs. But you mentioned stations WPKN and Bridgeport. I happen to know they're very creative. They mix things up a lot.
They do.
They've got a bit of an older staff, perhaps. But you know, it's not a young crowd. But then again, you know, that's not essential. Stations in Long Island, the USB is one I was giving an example of before.
I can barely get them.
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem. What part of Connecticut do you live in?
Norwalk. I'm in Norwalk.
Uh-huh. But I'll bet you get National Public Radio perfectly, right?
Yeah, well,
probably several times over, right?
Yeah, like four or five of them, like three. I can get National Public Radio, NPR, on three different stations if I, you know, if I'm moving around.
And that's my point. It's such a waste. It's overkill.
Yeah, it's total saturation on that point. Yeah.
Now, if you go down, and I'm sure I invite people to do this, but just please come right back. Go down the dial below 92. And see how many different stations are playing the same thing right now.
Oh, it's really pathetic. It's like oatmeal all over. It's the same thing.
Like oatmeal all over?
It's like, you know, it's like eating oatmeal. It's just so bland.
Well, I suppose that's a good analogy. Yeah. Well, now,
when I went cross country, I was hoping to find some, you know, off the wall college stations and some really good listening music late at night, and it was really hard to find because they're all, like you say, they're all programmed. They all play the same 15 songs in each city, in each town, and it's really sad.
Well, you know, it's especially sad when it happens to the stations that are supposed to be the alternatives.
Yeah.
And that's why what I'm outraged about. I've been to commercial stations. God, I've been to so many commercial stations, and I always, you know, I think it's amazing that I don't just throw up right there. Usually I wait till I get home, but, you know, there is one here in this city. It's one of the light music stations, so you have a choice of however many of those there are. Their whole music library is just a wall of little cartridges, and that's it. Each one represents one song.
Yeah.
Whereas many of these college stations, the ones that still exist, the ones that still are being creative, have tens of thousands of records, albums that have at least 10 songs each, and they can program them in whatever way they want.
You know, the big commercial radios, they want to phase out albums. They don't want those scratches and hisses and the bumps. They want a perfect sound, like, you know, like Americans want everything perfect. they want to give it to him on a silver platter. There's no room for any skips and dust particles.
No imperfections whatsoever. You know, I played that Van Morrison song before, and I noticed there were plenty of scratches there. It didn't skip or anything like that, but mean that's a beloved record, you know, and that's something that's been played 100,000 times.
Yeah, because that's what the fun part. Those are fun people to listen to. But even when I was in L.A., I was really at a loss for any good stations. There's only one good college station in the whole city of L.A.
Well, tell us what it is.
Way down the bottom. I forget what it is.
That's what everybody says, way down at the bottom. Nobody knows what's down there. But I think people should go down there more often.
They have the Pacific equivalent out in L.A., but I didn't think that was so good.
What is that, KPFK, is it?
Nothing like BAI. BAI is in a world of its own, thank God.
Well, you know, I wish there were more BAIs, obviously.
I can't understand why there isn't, because, unless people are just so happy with the status quo, they're just so happy being fed the same news on every station five times in a row, they're just automatrons,
How many times can you hear All Things Considered? I have nothing against the program, but damn it, come on, let's hear some other things, too. Let's not get caught up. In the non-commercial radio business, it's National Public Radio is God.
There should
be
three or four, listener-sponsored radios in New York. I mean, there's enough people here to support it.
Sure.
I guess everybody's so busy with their lives, and they don't have time to give an extra $5 or $15 or $25 to, listen to a radio, pay for radio when I can get it for free, But everybody's probably so busy with their life that they don't have time to sit down and say, hey, radio is important because it's a...
Well, let me tell you something. As someone who has experienced the magic of it, once you are a part of it, once you see what can be done, and once you're given the freedom to do what you want to do and you actually are able to learn something, you see the value of it. But if you're never given that chance, you could just shrug it off and say, oh, it's only radio. It's, it's no big deal. It's just music.
Get visual and audio entertainment, where radio, you have to kind of use your mind to, make your own visuals. And I think that I like that part better. I'd much rather listen to radio any day than watch TV.
That's why we air the the old radio serials here in BAI.
I like those, the Vic and Sade. I listen to those and I crack up and I laugh. And it's important to hear how our family life used to be.
And then it's an art to be able to convey something like that, like you said. It's very important. Listen, I want to get some more calls. Where are you calling from again?
Connecticut, Norwalk.
Norwalk. Okay. Well, thanks very much for calling, and keep looking for alternatives and let people know when you find them.
All right. Thank you.
All right. 279-3400. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
Okay, how are you? Where are you calling from?
Corner from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Hey, what's your name, by the way?
Emmanuel.
Hi, Emmanuel. How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, you're talking about radio. I worked at a college radio station.
Which one?
The one you just mentioned, WFMU.
WFMU in Uppsala.
That's right.
I was at that station. That's a neat place, I think.
Well, that's a great station. As a matter of fact, I was lucky enough that I had started my education at Fordham University, so I was able to be on staff at originally WFUV, which is one of the real powerful stations.
There are 50,000 watts, I believe.
I mean, we're able to be picked up. I mean, it's amazing our range. And it's a good step. I didn't get much involved with music. I was in sports. I did play-by-play and stuff. But WFMU was great. I mean, that's a great station. A lot of big people came out of that station originally, like Vince Scalzo.
Vince Scalzo, that's right.
And, so the thing about FMU is great is that, they let you basically do what you want. There are certain, by the way, even on FMU, there is a certain amount of what I call automated programming. For example, in the mornings, in order to try to keep the station going, they do let's say rent out an hour or two to this group to play, believe it or not, Hebrew music.
Really? Well, that's different. I'll say that.
Yeah, Hebrew music in the morning is kind of funny.
Oh, it's better than shopping home, don't you think?
Well, it's kind of weird because sometimes I'll be listening to rock at night and then suddenly I forgot to turn off the radio station. And in the morning, I be hearing this different language. It'd be kind of weird.
Well, that's what life is. It's kind of weird, and I think we need more weird experiences like that. Do you know anything about what's going on now with FMU and SHU and that whole conflict?
Well, I was there a few years back, but I had heard that even back then that what the basis is that FMU... his range is also pretty, is a lot. It's a powerful range. But what's been happening is that SHU has been basically blasting towards a different direction. And there's been a feeling at FMU that they're violating their so-called range, their limitations.
Well, let me tell you my impression. Yeah. You say SHU is blasting in a particular direction. It seems to me, by looking at all the things that they're doing, that SHU is blasting in every possible direction imaginable, except perhaps up. They're going for eastern Long Island. They're going for central Long Island. They're going for Nassau. They seem to have designs on Queens and Brooklyn, parts of Connecticut that they never had before. And there's already an entity in Connecticut called Connecticut Public Radio, and I understand the two of them are at each other's throats.
Well, you got to realize one thing. About 10 years ago, for example, two of the big universities here in the city cooperated, WSDU and WNYU. They're both on 89.1.
Right.
And what they decided was is that they wouldn't be on at the same time ever.
It's a good thing, being in the same frequency.
In other words, keeping the same frequency, but they'd go, in other words, one would go off, the other one would go on.
Right.
They do now. In other words, they're never on at the same time. So this way they don't violate each other's space. I think that's about the best they could do, because you got to realize that, as you mentioned before, if you go lower than 92 and you say to people, how many, you know, stations could you pick up? I mean, if something is like a point, something is like almost like a, possibly even a 1 watt station, I mean how much frequency, you know, how long could you pick it up before it gets overpowered by another station? I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever listen, for example, have you ever picked up WSIA?
WFIA, WSIA,
yeah.
Staten Island, yes, I have. In fact, they're at the same frequency as the religious zealots out in Suffolk County that are now blasting away Hofstra University and New Haven University, which is something that I think is horrible, because now you can't hear alternative music and alternative ways of programming, because you have to hear a repetition of the same station that's at 94.7, you know, with family radio, whatever that is. You hear the same thing, and there's no place that you can't get that station anyway. So I don't understand what the purpose of starting a satellite was.
Well, you know what the best, one of my all-time favorite college radio stories was? I don't know if you've ever heard the story, but there's a community college in Brooklyn called Kingsborough Community.
Yeah.
Okay, their call is a WKRB.
I think I've even heard them.
Yeah, they're on 90.9.
Right, yeah, okay.
Okay, and what's funny about them was, about 10 years ago, they had written a letter to the FCC asking permission if they could believe it or not broadcast on 103.1. And believe it or not, I don't know if it was a mistake made in the office down there in Washington, but they gave them permission, and for almost a year, KRB was broadcasting on 103.1.
Now, who's supposed to be at 103.1?
Well, it's an open frequency. But I mean, but college radio stations, as you know...
103.1 is an open frequency?
Well, at that point, 10 years ago it was.
Well, what's on it now?
I don't know what's on it now. There might be some small station that, I think it's some New Jersey station, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I know Yale University is going through something similar. They want to increase the power of their station, which happens to be at 94.3, and that's the frequency of a very powerful Muzak station on Long Island, who doesn't like this idea at all of having a college station.
94.3?
Yeah. So it does happen sometimes. You do see college stations at weird frequencies.
You know, by the way, you mentioned about Canada.
Uh-huh.
One thing, by the way, in terms of commercial stations in Canada... Did you know that there are laws requiring that in terms of music that 60% of the artists have to be Canadian?
I've heard that. I have heard that, and that's partly because of the over-Americanization of certain things.
Also, no matter how much the United States radio stations are, you know, certain words you can't say and certain things you can't say, in Canada, it's even more looked upon. I mean, it's even worse. Their version, I don't know even know what it's called.
I don't either, and you're right about that, because I was talking to somebody there, and they were complaining in just the same way we complain here about the FCC. Yes, they have the same
I don't know what
weird rules.
I don't know if what their FCC is called, but they have also sort of a national kind of situation. And the funny thing is, again, the thing about the FCC, which people should remember, is originally all they were worried about, believe it or not, was digital things with the stations. They never were concerned about really what people were saying. They weren't really involved in terms of the actual running of stations as they are now. And it's unfortunate because, as you mentioned, the only thing that you look upon all stations in commercial are just your basic music and your basic wacky stations. I mean, everybody, it seems like every city in the United States has a zoo. You know that?
Well, yeah, I think that is true.
Every city has a zoo. Every city has like a version of a Howard Stern.
Every city needs a zoo.
Every city has a Howard Stern. Every city has got their version of a Don Imus, and it's pretty weird.
Sure, yeah, you go anywhere and you get these, you know, these imitations.
By the way, the radio station that you're referring to in Los Angeles is UC Davis.
Uh huh.
It's KUCD, I think, which is a pretty decent station. But I agree with the call who mentioned that the LA stations were pretty awful.
Uh huh.
But that's about it. But as far as FMU, that was the opinion I got in terms of the other station. But again, as you said, it's if anybody if they're not obviously listening to WBAI, if they want to catch a really good station, you know, FMU has all kinds of different things to listen to, and they'll talk and they'll do all kinds of wacky stuff and. By the way, your own station, BAI, there's a lot of things, of course, that people have problems with it itself. You know, I remember when I was younger, there used to be, BAI used to have this great programming called Electric Family Theater.
Okay.
Which was kind of a takeoff on Fireside Theater. And it was fantastic. And they couldn't do it anymore because, unfortunately, the people went into other stuff, But even BAI has their problems.
Oh, everybody's got problems. But the thing is, these plastic stations try to pretend as if there are no problems and everything's just fine, you know, and they gloss over the real, you know, important issues, and they just play music or they just do something that's very easy to do. They just take programming off the satellite. They don't allow for imperfection. And yes, we make mistakes here, folks. We you know, sometimes there's dead air for a few minutes. Sometimes, you know, the tape falls off the reel.
And by the way, I agree with you when you said that the college radio stations should be run by the students.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, it should, you know, I think a combination student-community station is ideal because, you know, students have a lot of pressures, obviously. And there's a lot they can learn from people who have been at it for longer. But yeah, the ultimate decision should be in the hands of students. It's a college station. Yes, that's what bothers me so much about stations like Buffalo, stations like Sacred Heart University, because they have a school attached to them, but they don't have anything to do with the students, and the students aren't learning a thing from this.
And again, as you mentioned, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but do you know that a lot of college radio stations are now actually accepting some form of advertising?
I wouldn't be surprised at all to see that happen.
Which is really ridiculous. I mean, then you get to the point where, you know, you might as well make it, you know, make it a commercial radio station.
Yeah, let's say in 10 years that'll probably happen.
Oh, wait, just one quick question in terms of...
Very quick, I want to get some more calls.
Do you think that there'll ever be the call letters again, WNBC?
WNBC?
Radio. NBC.
I don't know how the FCC handles things like that. I know that I know that when... Do you remember WKHK, that used to be a country station here in the city? When they stopped being a country station, their call letters were grabbed up, I think, the next week by another station. So, I don't know. I guess the FCC sometimes approves it and sometimes doesn't. Maybe NBC still has the rights to those call letters. I'm not sure how it works.
By the way, you know what KHK was before it was KHK?
It was RVR.
Yeah.
And that's another sad story. A jazz station that...
That was the greatest jazz station there was.
Yeah. And... You know, the same thing could happen to any radio station that you think is unique and different. Do you remember WPIX?
Sure.
When they played new wave music and they were different?
I remember. Are you kidding? I go back to the days. I remember when they used to be a WNBC FM.
Oh, yeah. And WABC FM.
You remember when there actually was a, believe it or not, when NBC FM went off the air for a little while, NBC tried an FM old news station, WNWS.
Yeah, WNWS. Do you remember the first day that they went on the air, they had an announcement, they had an advertisement by, you know, this person walking around interviewing people, and one person said, yes, I listen to it every day. It wasn't even on before that, so how could they have said, yes, I listen to it every day?
Well,
you know,
that
thing was bogus from the start, I thought.
I tell you, this is great talking about nostalgia, about old stations, old call letters, ABC FM.
Yeah, but, you know, I hate thinking that it's all over and that we're stuck with these bland stations that just play the same things over and over again, whether it's classical music or light rock or news or whatever. We need diversity, and you know, it's there for the taking, but we have to want it.
That's
you know
it.
And there should be lots of stations like this one in different cities all over the country, but it's never going to happen unless the desire for it is expressed, and people do listen. You know, you write to the FCC, you write to the powers that be, and you know, they don't always listen, but they do sometimes. And you know, what's the harm in getting your thoughts out?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling 279-3400. Good morning.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to just give you a little bit of information on WFMU and the situation there.
Okay.
Calling you from Connecticut, and the way I heard it was that WFMU apparently was assigned more power than it should have been through a sort of a mistake early on in its beginnings as a station. And what happened since then recently is that WSHU and a couple of other stations that I guess are having interference from FMU are trying to go back maybe 15 years or 20 years and try and get FMU cut back to its power that it should have originally received rather than this kind of loophole.
Well, I had heard that it was a mistake that was made back in 1962 or something, and nobody caught it. The FCC, no engineers caught it. But my question is, why now? Why all of a sudden the interest in cutting their power in half?
Well, as you said before, WSHU is trying to put repeater stations out on Long Island, and I think one thing that, you know, this discussion that you're having centers on is the fact that non-commercial radio has become a big business. And I can tell you, I work at WPKN in Bridgeport, and we've had several threats to our own station because Connecticut Public Radio tried to take us over at one time. Fortunately, we had an outpouring of thousands of letters to the University of Bridgeport, which holds the license.
Well, let me tell you something. I've heard lots of rumors about that, and I'm familiar with your station. I listen to your station. And by the way, say hi to Harry for me. It's scary how public radio somehow has become this evil beast that can go and take over other stations. Now, WUSB, the station in Stony Brook, New York, just went through this week, over the last 5 days, realizing that their frequency was in danger because a station coming on at 89.9 in a fairly close proximity could wipe out a good part of their signal, or at least distort it. They received thousands of, at least over 1,000, between 1,000 and 2,000 calls of support within a 4 or 5 day period, which I thought was amazing. So people are concerned. People do care. People do want alternatives, and I think they're fed up with this sameness that's spread into non-commercial radio as well. Yes, it is a business. That's really sick.
Yeah, it is a business, but as you said, there's some bright spots, and I know with our own station, WPKN, we fought off one takeover attempt, and as you and some of the listeners probably know, WPKN is on its own now. The university isn't funding it anymore because of budgetary problems there, And we just made over $100,000 in a marathon this past October. And it just shows you that there are people out there that value an alternative like WPKN and like WBAI. But there aren't many left. And I think if the business instincts of the folks who are involved in non-commercial radio go unchecked, we're going to even have less alternatives on the air. And I don't know if there's any organized way to try and stop this kind of juggernaut to what you've been calling this kind of bland mediocrity that slips in, where you get five stations in a row on the dial playing the same thing. It's just it's a waste of that end of the dial, which is supposed to be reserved for something different.
Well, you know, I think one good way is to spread the word as to what it is you're doing. You know, I don't want to create some kind of an organization, because organizations then take control and use power. But I do think it's important that, you know, even though you're in Bridgeport, Connecticut, people in other parts of the country know the things that you're doing and know about it. There should be some kind of maybe a newsletter about real non-commercial radio stations and the kind of things that happen to them, maybe funny things that happen to them, educational things, financial problems that they overcome or don't overcome. Something like that. There needs to be a way of communicating. In fact, it's kind of coincidental. The Intercollegiate Broadcasting Service is having its convention in New York this weekend, and I guess that's probably one of the best ways of communicating back and forth, but not all stations participate in that. It's something that I think we have to deal with. We have to communicate amongst ourselves, anyone who's involved in non-commercial radio.
No, I think you have a good point. There should be more kind of networking, as the saying goes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll say this right here. If anybody wants to send me information about stuff they're doing on non-commercial radio stations, we'll talk about it here on the air. It's no problem. And just send it over to WBAI, and we'll take a look at it. It's not much, but it's something.
Okay, well, thanks for bringing the subject up.
Okay, thanks for calling, and good luck to you guys.
Good night.
All right. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, where are you calling from?
Middletown, New York.
Okay.
What I wanted to say, I'm in the middle of a term paper, so I don't get a lot of time.
Okay, go ahead.
But at New Paltz, which was always considered a fairly radical school, SUNY New Paltz, the college station there, the DJs all take time trying to sound like the New York commercial DJs. And I find that scary.
That is scary. You know, part of the purpose of college radio is to train people to work in radio, but it's more than that. It's also to open you up to alternatives and to let you hear some of the other artists that aren't being played on all the other radio stations.
But they have intricate playlists for how you classify your show. I stopped going because of that, but well, I mean, it's like they're practicing to be the commercial station in New York.
See, the only thing you're going to get out of that is mediocrity, because who's going to want to listen to to students doing the same thing that professionals are doing? Obviously, the professionals are going to do it better. You're not going to be playing anything that people don't hear already.
Funny, but I think the FCC agreed. We were competing with another school for like 100.3, a real prime channel in the local area, something like that, where, you know, we had a certain distance. And they didn't, I don't believe they got it. And I don't even find it a shame, because I bet the other school's doing something good.
Hmm.
But I got to go. I got to write this paper on silicon.
Okay, well, you do that.
Bye-bye.
There's a great demand for that kind of thing, too. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, where are you calling from?
Connecticut.
Okay, a lot of Connecticut calls today, eh?
Yeah, lots of them.
What part of Connecticut?
Greenwich.
All right, what's on your mind?
Let me just turn on the radio here, because you are on delay, and I can't listen out of the radio and just talk into the phone. But anyway, all right, you're talking about, I'm just trying to go over all the things that I've been thinking about since it's been ringing. All right, one thing, things on the same frequency where I'm at, we get WQXR at 103.1. Boo!
At 103.1?
Yeah, there's a translator.
QXR has a translator in Connecticut?
Right.
I didn't know that.
You do now.
Why wasn't I told? Oh, I'm going to have to speak to somebody about this, but that's strange. Well, it's not uncommon, I guess, but I just didn't know that.
Yeah, but up here, I mean, it comes in perfectly. But that's all right. But all right, let me see, what else? The business is dead.
Uh-huh.
Radio, I'm sorry, I work in it, but it's dead.
What business do you mean?
Broadcasting.
The whole broadcasting, that's kind of a general statement, though.
It is, though. It's horrible. I mean, think about it. In the 60s, everybody was swinging, right? In the 70s, everybody was screaming. What were they doing in the 80s? They were all sleeping.
Yeah, but these are the 90s.
Yeah, and what are they going to do in the 90s? I mean, radio stations...
Look forward to the next century. I don't know.
They've been going dark in the 80s. 50-kilowatt stations have been going dark in the 80s.
Well, I think you got to be optimistic. I mean, that might sound kind of foolish, but I think it's the only way.
Okay.
Listen, I'm sorry, I have to cut you off. We're going to take one more call, and then we're out of here. Bob Fass is here, and I'm sure he's got something amazing to talk about. Good morning.
Hello, Emmanuel. You have a great show.
That's the second time that thing has called, but it's all right. That doesn't count. I said a person. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Fast.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to say a little bit about WFMU.
Okay, go ahead, quickly.
Okay, the three stations that are, it's an aggressive thing against FMU. It's not FMU, you know, starting this. It's WFUV, WKTW, and SHU. And they're trying to get FMU's power cut in half because of the 62 error. But if anyone wants to write, I have the address.
Okay, go ahead.
Letters of support go to FMU, care of General Manager Ken Friedman, Uppsala College, East Orange, New Jersey, 07019, and that's 91.1. So they're giving out information on the radio if you want to support them.
Okay, and if anybody wants to send letters of any kind supporting non-commercial radio in general, you can send them right here, Emmanuel Goldstein, WBAI, 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018.
Okay, and thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
And that's pretty much going to do it for us here today. And we are just about out of time. I believe our caller from Amsterdam is still on the line. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
I can't
Why?
Believe you sat through the entire program. That's that's something to say.
It was a very good show.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I just hope you enjoy it when the phone bill comes.
Oh, I will.
Okay,
Don't
listen,
worry.
We got to go. I'll see you soon. And, folks, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
No. Who is on first?
Mister, can I talk to you for a minute?
Got a cigarette for me, Mister Hall?
Hey, Mister, do you speak Spanish?
Hey, Tiger, you want to dance? Little dance won't hurt you.
Come here, cowboy. I want to tell you
something.
Moshi,
desca,
baby.
Ooh, you're so tall.
Let's have some fun.
Hey, honey, how'd you like to spend some time with me? Pony, that's Prostitutes of New York in France, will be on the air this coming Monday, the 5th of March, from 10 to 11 p.m. Hookers will be calling in.